when we come into this world, I think we have a plan, a basic idea of what we want to do. We've got some certain programming that's built into our system, manufactured or installed, if you will. But shortly thereafter, the people in our lives take over and they start imposing their beliefs, ideas, desires, dreams on us. So we go to school and we're pressured to do well, get straight A's if you can. Get involved in sports, whether you like it or not. Because obviously if you're going to be successful, you have to be well-rounded. Try to get into a good college. Hopefully get a good job. Hopefully marry the right person. And hopefully you'll have a good life. Little do we know it, but this is Life 1.0's algorithm. And it is stacking the cards against us at every turn. Simply because people are unwilling to just allow what naturally happens happen. If you're lucky, when you get to your 30s, 40s, or even 50s, this will have occurred to you and you realize that maybe you've been living a life that wasn't your own. Maybe you were living someone else's life for someone else's purpose. Maybe you were dancing to someone else's tune the whole time. And then one day you wake up and you realize, this isn't my life. This isn't my beautiful wife. This isn't my house. Anyway, today I want to talk to you guys a little bit about finding your authenticity, because that's really what it boils down to. And unfortunately, you were born with it, but you probably lost it somewhere along the way. This is Life 2.0. Let's talk about it. Let me tell you about a client of mine named Marcus. Marcus is a doctor, and he's from Eastern Europe. He grew up in a really rough household. They were poor, and his dad was rough on him. He's very strict. In poor countries like that, they put a lot of pressure on kids to succeed, and they put a lot of pressure on Marcus. Marcus was a smart kid. He has a photographic memory. So anything he put his mind to, he could excel at. And they pushed him and pushed him. Through school, through sports, through the whole thing. And he only had three choices. He could either be a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer. That was it. But when Marcus was a kid, he liked writing stories. And he would write stories in his little notebooks and hide them because he knew his parents wouldn't like it. And one day, his father found his little stash of notebooks and all the stories that he had written and lost his temper and beat Marcus and told him that he could not do that, that he would end up like the town drunk, that writing poems and stories is not the way that people become successful in this world, that he has to make a choice, doctor, lawyer, engineer, that was it. So Marcus went on to become a doctor. And Marcus certainly enjoys all the benefits of being a doctor. He makes a ton of money, he lives in a nice house, he drives a fancy car, he's got a pretty wife, it's all good. But down deep inside, there's still that child that wants to do something else. He wants to be a writer. He wants to rededicate his life in a completely different direction that would require tearing everything that he has apart and starting from scratch. Marcus lives a tormented life. When I met Marcus, he was like 80, 90 pounds overweight. He was stressed out, miserable pretty much in his life. Everything seemed to be falling apart. His marriage is falling apart. He was getting some malpractice stuff happening at work. Oh, that's not good. And so as I dug deeper and deeper and learned about his past and his passions and what he really, really wants to do, you know, I planted the seed for him. I said, man, how much is your life worth? I mean, how much money is another day on this planet worth to you? How much money is spending a lifetime doing something you hate worth? Yeah, it started to sink in for him. I don't know what he's going to do. He's still working it out. But these are the kinds of struggles that I think most of us face. We, on the one hand, want to make the people around us happy. And of course, we want to listen to them. We want to take their advice. They're smarter than us. They're older than us. So we think they know better. And oftentimes we make choices that are really hard to change once they're made. And they can cause us an awful lot of pain. And then they push us into this life that is inauthentic. we find ourselves playing a role as ourselves, being someone we don't know, care for, or want to be day to day. We become this other person, this person that our parents wanted us to be, or our teachers or our coaches or somebody wanted us to be this person. And so now this is who we are. And we are pretending to be this person every single day of our lives. And the stress of that pretending, the stress of acting like you're somebody that you're not every single day is unbearable. And eventually we all crack. Eventually you get to a point where either you just can't take it anymore and you've got to stop and change, or it destroys your life, or it kills you. Those are really the three options that you have. Marcus, before I saw him, he had gone down the path of being an alcoholic. He was cheating on his wife. He was smoking pot. He was struggling. He was really, really struggling. And he had not only built up this role of being a doctor, but he was this very stern parent. You know, he was this very disciplined guy, you know. And without even realizing it, he was putting pressure on his own kids to perform in the same way that his own father put pressure on him to perform. And he never said the words, "I want you to be a doctor." But his kids nevertheless felt the pressure to do exactly that, because that's who he was. So you can see how this isn't just about you, it becomes generational. It becomes something that you're infecting into your family for all time. Because then, you know, those kids are gonna do the same thing to their kids, and it goes on and on and on and on. And who really wants to go to a doctor that doesn't want to be a doctor? You know, when you get right down to it, do you really want that guy working on you? You know, if you need someone cracking up on your nut, see what's going on inside your head, you want that guy who really hates being a doctor doing it? Or do you want someone who just loves it? Someone who just wanted to do that from the very beginning? Yeah, so it's destroying not only his life, but it's destroying the lives of the people around him, and it's destroying their culture, you know, because we're all pretending to be something that we're not. And that is the tragedy of it, is we end up getting pushed either by our family or by our culture or society, whatever, to play this role that doesn't fit. Life 1.0 can easily be identified because it's always the safe path. It is the path that other people have walked. You know, being 60 years old gives me the opportunity to see a good bit of the recent history and have experienced it. And I look at what's going on in our world right now and how topsy-turvy it is. And I know you're not going to believe this, because we always think that what we're experiencing in the here and now is worse than anything we could have experienced in the past. But there have been lots of times just over the course of my life where there was a lot of topsy-turviness, you know, that there have been very few times when life was not interesting, you know, if you know what I mean, where the politics and the economics and the society wasn't going through some kind of metamorphosis that's made everything seem unstable and unreal, and like we were all, you know, plunging to the ground at breakneck speed. Well, that's not the case at all. It's just not the case. You know, there's that old saying, if it bleeds, it leads. If it bleeds, it leads. That's been the case for generations now. And so you're always going to hear the bad news about today and how you need to play it safe and how you need to follow the path that everyone else is following, how you got to do what you can to protect yourself. You got to stack the cards in your favor by doing the things that other people have done. And all of those are lies. They are all lies. And they're usually told by people who mean really well. It's not like they're trying to be devious, or not like they're trying to dissuade you from living an authentic life. They just want you to be safe. And so they want you to do the things that they wish they had done. But there is no safety in following someone else's path. I guarantee you that. In fact, the only path that is safe is the path that is uniquely yours. From an authentic perspective, when you're walking your own path, you're as safe as you're ever going to be, because that path was laid out for you. You know, you've got the skills, you've got the genetics, you've got the talent, you've got whatever it takes to follow your instincts and follow your own path in life. So many of the guys that I talk to find themselves in situations where their lives have been very unfulfilling, that has been one disaster after another. And you know, and you can take it all the way back to when they were kids. And when you find out how they were raised and the expectations that were placed on them by their parents, you really begin to uncover the pain that those parents unknowingly caused their children for their entire lives by putting these expectations on them to act and be a certain way, rather than just allowing that kid to be the person that he authentically wanted to be. And the thing is, kids are always going to come up with crazy dreams. They always do. And the problem that most parents have is they don't just go with it. You know, my kids, they come up with some crazy ass dreams, and I just say, you know, all right, let's see where it goes. Let's try it. Let's go with it. And if it doesn't work, we'll try something else, you know, but for the time being, we are just going to do what you want to do. And you got to let them play it out. That's the only way that life works, is because when they go far enough down the path of the dream that they have in their head, if it works out, great. And if it doesn't, other doors will open. There will be other pathways that will be available to them that they didn't realize were there before. And they'll find their way to those things that are naturally within them to be satisfied and happy in their own lives. And what else do you want for your kid except that, right? The problem is our own parents from past generations grew up in a time of scarcity and poverty, and especially when you're coming from a developing country like in Eastern Europe, or from the, you know, from Asia or Africa, or places where industrialization has just happened in the last generation or two, and poverty is still, a huge problem. And it's not like the poverty we have here. The positive poverty they have, like in India or places like that, it's oppressive. You know, it's not just a little inconvenient. It's like it crushes you. So I understand some of these parents and why they would push their kids to be successful in particular ways. But inevitably, these kids, when they get to that level of success and they reach that place in their lives where they can see the entire horizon and what they could be doing, they inevitably want to make their own choices. I had this guy, another guy, very similar to Marcus. We'll call him, Sam. Sam's from India, and Sam, he came to the U.S. as an IT student, became a software engineer at a very high level, making tons of money on one of those visas that's so controversial these days. But while he was here in the U.S., he realized that he didn't really care for that at all. You know, even though he was good at it, it wasn't his thing. And so he opened a restaurant, and then he opened up another restaurant, and then another restaurant, and another restaurant. And now he owns a chain of restaurants, and he loves it. He loves coming up with the recipes. It's all Indian food, as you might imagine. And he's using his mother's recipes and his grandmother's recipes, and he loves it. And he's as proud of his food. I mean, he would bring it to the gym. You know, it would stink up the whole house. It was delicious, though. It was delicious. But he was as happy with that food as he could possibly be. Now, if he had told his parents way back when he was a kid, yeah, I want to grow up and cook food. I want to be a chef. They would have laughed him out. They said, no, we're going to beat that out of you, son. You are not going to be a chef. You are going to be a computer engineer. That's what you're going to do. Anyway, this is Life 1.0. And it's not an evil scheme, you know. It's not some terrible thing that people are doing to you. They're doing it out of their perceived love. But eventually, you got to come to the place where you realize what's been done, and you've got to wake up to the true authenticity that lies within you. You can't go through life playing a role. You know, it's not your own. It's not you. You're just pretending. You're just walking around here pretending to be a computer engineer or pretending to be a doctor. And then all the things that go with it, you know, what does a computer engineer watch at night? What does a computer engineer, who does he marry? What does a doctor marry? You know, who does a doctor marry? Where does a doctor drive? Where does he live? Like, all these decisions suddenly start to fall into place because you made this one decision. And now you're really not in control of your life anymore. Your parents are living it from India or from Eastern Europe, and they're making decisions about what you do without ever even talking to you, without even telling you what you should do. You know, they've already laid the groundwork. They've put the programming into your skull, and now you're just following through almost like a robot, doing exactly the kinds of things that they said you should do. So at a certain point, you got to come to Life 2.0. At a certain point, if you're lucky, it'll happen at a time when your life isn't completely destroyed. You'll wake up to it one day and you'll realize that you need to make a change, that you're living someone else's life, that you're not living from an authentic perspective. And if you can do that, if you can find that authenticity, you've got a chance now to start turning your life in the direction that you want to take it. Life 2.0, unfortunately, does not come gently into the world. Life 2.0 usually comes at a moment of crisis. In fact, I would argue that for most of us who have been down the Life 1.0 algorithm and have reached that place where we realize that life is not going well, the pain of Life 1.0 just becomes part of the background. It just becomes part of who you are. You don't recognize it for what it is. You start gaining weight, you drink too much, you're short-tempered, you know, nothing feels right. Your life just feels all out of sorts all the time. You're angry. You know, your life just sucks. It just sucks. And you got no one to blame but yourself. But you don't realize that the self that you're blaming is completely right. You should be blaming yourself. But the self that you're blaming is not you. The self that you're blaming is the person that you've created to meet the needs of other people. You yourself, the authentic part of you, that aspect of you that knows the path forward, has not had a chance to come out of the shadows yet. That guy is still in the background somewhere. So the fact that you're angry at yourself, what you're really angry at is the person that you have created to live this life. So the crisis comes, oftentimes, you know, when people watching this channel, comes in a divorce, you know? It's when your life really starts to come untethered. It's when the role can't hold itself together anymore. Like, you can't be that guy for her. Like, she knows you too well, you know? Mm-hmm. And she sees there's cracks in the armor. Like, there's nothing, like the authenticity isn't there. Because what happens when you're not living an authentic life is you get pressure from time to time. Life always provides you with pressure. And pressure reveals the true nature of people. True nature of all things, but the true nature of people in particular. What's his name? Wayne Dyer used to say that, you know, what do you get when you squeeze an orange? Well, you get orange juice. Why? Because that's what's inside. And that's one of my favorite sayings because it reveals what's inside people too. When you put people under pressure and they're stressed out, what do you see? Well, you see what comes out, you know? And if anger and vindictiveness and hatred and all that other nasty shit comes pouring out of you, why is that? Well, that's what's inside you. More often than not, the reason why this shitty stuff is coming out of your body, coming out of your mouth, coming out of your life, is not because you're a shitty person. It's because the person that you have created for yourself is incongruent with the person that you are on the inside. Your authentic self and this self that you have made are not on the same wavelength. And the dissonance between who you are and who you are pretending to be is so powerful that it is it's unbearable anymore. Like, you can't deal with it any longer. And so long as you continue to play this role, this nasty, crappy, shitty stuff is going to start spewing from you continuously. Most people are living inauthentic lives. Most people have followed the conventional wisdom of taking the safe path in life. They've done the things that other people have said they should do because they thought that was the right way to go, or because they did not have a good answer in the moment when asked, what are you going to do? Like, they didn't have the answer already worked out, so they made shit up. They started doing that, you know? I think we've all been there at a certain point. And unfortunately, when you're 17, 18, 19, whatever, you know, even when you're younger than that, you don't have the capacity to know yourself well enough to make a good decision on this topic. You know, most of us don't. Some do. But people from my generation certainly didn't. I see my kids, and they're doing a lot better job at it than I ever did. But I think that that pressure that causes that nastiness to come out of you ends up being the catalyst for the destruction of Life 1.0, because you will start to notice that people around you don't want to be there anymore. Your wife is a perfect example, you know, and she may be living her own Life 1.0 too, so she may be under pressure and she may be spewing all this nasty bullshit as well. So the two of you together in your personal hell are just at each other all the time. Who wants to live like that? Eventually you say, I don't care what it costs, just get me out of here, just get me out. And you leave. And the wonderful thing about divorce is it does create this opportunity for a fresh start. Now you may be thinking, oh, it's just a fresh start for a woman. No. It's a fresh start for you. Like, you don't have to bring another woman into your life. In fact, having a woman in your life just compounds the problem. You're just doubling down on Life 1.0. You're just doing the same thing that you did before. If you want to discover new countries, you've got to walk down new trails, you know? And so don't go down that same trail again. You know where it leads. It got you here. Like, your best thinking got you here, man. You know? You gotta come up with something new. You gotta come up with a new thought. Like, I'm gonna try something different. So like with Marcus, the guy I was telling you about earlier, he's working on his writing. Like, he's practicing. He's writing stories and he's gonna publish them and he's gonna put them out there and see what happens. And I don't know if that's gonna make him $1 million or not, but I do know it's gonna make him happy. And I do know there's gonna open doors for him that would not have been open before. And I do know that he is in his segment, in his place when he's doing that. Like, he's in his zone when he's doing that, because he's at one with it, you know? He's peaceful. He's in a place where he feels most comfortable. And like I said, this may not be the final destination for Marcus, but it's definitely a step on the path toward where he needs to go. And for you, in your own search for your own Life 2.0, that's the way you have to approach it. Like, you just have to honor that natural pull within you. And don't apply all the conventional wisdom to the outcomes of what you're going to do, because you don't know what they are. You can't even begin to predict what they'll be. When you start down a path, even though that one thing may not do it for you, he may not be a great novelist or screenplay, and he may be, I don't know. But it may open up other doors that will allow you to use this talent, this skill that you feel so strongly about, that is more closely aligned with your authentic self, to make a living, to make a good living. And if you really love it and you're passionate about it, you're going to get better at it and you're going to become successful. And you just have to have faith that that path is available to you. All you have to do is follow it. And the funny thing is, that's so ironic, at the end of the day, is that this path would have been so much easier if you just followed it from the beginning. You know, if you had just done this from the beginning, your entire life would have been different. You would have been completely a different person than you are now. And now you've got to kind of learn how to be the person that you really are. You've got to shed all these layers of facade and role-playing that you've created that are now layering your personality. You've got to get back down to just who you are. And once you discover that, you start acting from that place and you start being that guy, man, your life gets a ton easier. Money starts following you around. People want to be near you. Women seek you out. Not that those things are all measures of success. I'm not saying that they are, but you'll notice that your life just gets so much more enjoyable. And not only that, but your need for external stimulus for other things in your life is diminished, because you're filling your soul with those things that you really love to do. So you're no longer looking for something to distract you from your reality. You don't need a Netflix account anymore. You know what I mean? Like, you can let all those streaming services go, because you're not looking for something to numb the pain of your day-to-day life. You'll save money on alcohol and drugs and women and all of it, because you won't need it anymore, because you're just living you. You're just being you. And when you're just living yourself, guess what? You're living from that authentic place. You will find that you are enough. Like, you are enough. Not just enough as a person, but like, you're enough for yourself. Like, you don't need all this other bullshit in your life to make you feel like you're living a fulfilling life, because you actually are living a fulfilling life. You don't need to travel to the Caribbean or to Hawaii or to Europe or climb the Himalayas or whatever. You don't need to do that if it's not authentically in you. It's not there, you know? And so you will find that just being you and doing you fills all of those gaps, you know? You won't find that there are any more holes that you're trying to fill with external stimulus, you know, to make you feel better, to numb the pain, because you're just living authentically. And once you get to that place, you'll wonder, why the hell didn't I do this the whole time? Like, what a blessing it is to wake up every morning and just live my life. I don't want to live anyone else's life. I don't care what anyone else's life is like. My own life is so good. Why would I care about someone else's life? You know? I think a lot of us get far enough down Life 1.0, we kind of realize that we're in the wrong place doing the wrong thing. But the pain of making the change to Life 2.0 is too great. It's like, God, I just don't know if I can do it. And so what ends up happening is in the years leading up to when I made my personal transition to Life 2.0 and started living my life from a more authentic place, there was about a decade where I could catch glimpses of what life 2.0 could be like. And I would come right up to the edge. I remember coming back from Hawaii once and just knowing that the life that I had back here in Northern Virginia was not the life for me. And the contrast, because I grew up in Hawaii, the contrast of going back there and kind of going to all my old haunts as a kid, playing at the beach and that sort of thing, and going to all the places that I had grown up, it reminded me of who I was and what my life was like then. Not that I necessarily want to live in Hawaii. I mean, back then I kind of conflated that those experiences and thought, oh, I need to move to Hawaii. But it was just the memory of what it was like to have that sensation of living from an authentic place in contrast to what it felt like to live the life that I had created. And I think that contrast really got in my head, and I didn't understand it. And I remember I had money and equity and all that stuff. I could have moved. I could have sold the house. We could have moved to Hawaii. Could have bought a business there. But on one level, it's like I knew that wasn't the right move. Like there was something that was drawing me to Hawaii, but there was something that was repelling me from it at the same time. And I think what was drawing me in was that sense of authenticity from being a kid and all of those memories. And what was pushing me away was that this was not the right answer. Like, moving there physically was not the answer. It was getting psychologically and emotionally back into that place of authenticity. That was the key. Anyway, I came back from Hawaii, and I remember I literally broke down in tears as I got to the point where I had to make this decision as to whether I was going to go or not, and I decided not to go. And I felt like I disappointed myself so much, you know, in that moment. It was like I was giving in, like I was no longer capable of taking control of my own life, that I just had to submit to the momentum of the life that I had created. And there was nothing I could do to change it. And I remember in that moment when I had that realization, I just broke down. I literally just broke down and sobbed. I just felt like a complete disaster. Like I had just ruined my life and there was nothing that I could do to fix it. I felt out of control. I felt like I had hit rock bottom in that moment. And of course, my marriage is kind of falling apart, you know. And so I just sucked it up. It's like, okay, this is the road we're going to be on. We're going to make it as comfortable as we can, you know, and we're going to do what we can to make this as bearable as possible. And that was sort of the mental attitude that I took. It was a little bit of a mix of stoicism and Pollyannaism, if you will. It's like, fuck it, man, we're just going to make this work. And I remember from that point forward, I ended up gaining about 25 or 30 pounds over the next, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. And so right now, my normal body weight, somewhere around 175, 180, and I got up to around 200 pounds. And that does not look good on me, just FYI. Didn't feel good either. But it was an indication of how miserable I was. You know, I was still lifting weights and stuff, you know, but I was just eating tons of junk. I was just trying to cover it all up. I'd drink, I'd eat, I'd do anything I could to make it feel better. Sit in front of the TV day and night. And it just was not a good place for me to be. And I think that's an indication. When you start to feel those sorts of feelings in your life, when you start to feel that undercurrent of discontentment, that's your indication that something isn't right, that there's some level of authenticity that you're not honoring in your own life. And until you come to terms with it and you find a path forward with it, whether you do it as a part-time adventure, whether you make it a hobby, whatever it is, if you don't give that authentic aspect of you breathing room, it's going to continue to get out. It's going to continue to fight you day and night until it finally is able to emerge from the shadows and give you that sense of relief that you really, really need. The kind of courage it takes to embrace life 2.0 goes way beyond just making a decision to change your job or to change where you live. It requires the courage to disappoint other people. And that is the toughest one because you can disappoint yourself and you can live with that. At least you think you can. You can suck that up. You know, you can just say, all right, well, it's my little secret, you know? But when you start just disappointing the other people in your life, the people who are depending on you or the people who have expectations of you, man, that's when it really, really, really gets tough. And having that kind of courage, it requires a plan. Like you've got to have your plan at least laid out to a certain degree before you start making your move to change your life. And you've got to have quiet conversations with the people who are going to be the most disappointed. And you've got to let them know from a very profound inner self sort of place exactly why this is so important to you and what you're going to do and why you have to do it. Because from the outside, it's going to appear that you're crazy. It's going to appear that you're having a midlife crisis. People are going to think that you're off your rocker. They may be right. They may be right. You might be off your rocker. But it's your life, and you've got to find that authentic aspect of it, and you've got to live your life from that perspective. Because once you do, all the other things kind of fall into place. You're going to find that you become a much better person, a much nicer person, more lovable. You're going to enjoy being around you more. You're going to enjoy yourself more. And those people who would initially be disappointed, when they start to recognize in you that new side that emerges from that authentic place, they're going to know that you made the right decision. So you just have to have the courage to know that as you push through this process, you are going to upset some people, but you're also going to impress them. Because when you become that authentic version of yourself, they'll know it and they'll see it and they will honor you for it. They'll respect you for it. But you've got to have the self-respect to push through, even though you're disappointing someone else. If you're someone who feels like you're stuck in life 1.0, and you are hungering for that life 2.0 experience, and you want that so much more for yourself than what you're experiencing now, you don't have to wait for a crisis. You don't have to wait to the point where your whole life falls apart before you take those steps in that direction. You don't need to wait for a divorce or a business failure or something along those lines, a serious physical illness. You know, that happens to a lot of people. They have a near-death experience and then suddenly they change everything. You know, they realize how valuable their time here is and how critical it is that they use it wisely. And living your life from an authentic perspective is the only way that you can even give yourself a modicum of chance to live a fulfilling, happy life. So if life 2.0 is where you want to go, and I'm talking about living from an authentic perspective here, start doing some self-analysis, start reading some books, start discovering who you are. Start remembering all those dreams that you had when you were a kid. Start seeing yourself from that perspective. Start imagining, what would you do if you weren't doing this? What would come naturally to you? What crazy dream do you have in the back of your mind that you don't want to tell anyone because it's just too crazy? Because it just seems too far off the mark. That's usually the one. That's usually it. That's the one that you don't want, the one you don't want to talk about, the one you don't want to tell anyone. That's probably your true path. I know you're thinking, oh no, John, it can't be that. I can't be a circus clown. That's not the one. That can't be it. Man, the world needs circus clowns. You could be the best freaking circus clown in the world, But whatever it is, you just gotta do it. You just gotta do it. Because if you don't, not only are you gonna be miserable for the rest of your life, but you're gonna be laying on your deathbed one day saying, God damn it, I wish I had. I wish I had. What worse words could you be saying out loud in the last moments of your own life? Or even having that thought in your head, I wish I had. Don't put yourself through that. Use the time that you have in the here and now to create the life that you want and start living your life from an authentic perspective. It's going to be hard. There's no question about it. The transition is hard. But once you make that transition, everything gets 10 times easier. Your whole life gets easier. I cannot emphasize how much easier your life will be when you start living your life from an authentic perspective. All of your relationships will get easier. All of your money-making problems will go away. You'll start to find ways to make money easily. You may still be working a lot, but you're going to love what you're doing. You're going to love it, and so it doesn't feel like you're working. Your life will fall into place. You just have to have faith and take the steps in the direction that you know is correct for you. And as you do that, just prepare yourself for the resistance and just push through anyway. Just push through anyway. Do it in a polite way, be kind, be thoughtful, be considerate of other people, but set those boundaries that this is for you. This is where I'm headed. This is what I'm gonna do. This is what's right for me, and just know it. All right, you guys, that's all I got for you today. Hope you've enjoyed this video. If you have, please like and subscribe. As I've said in the last couple of videos, remember to set that little bell off. Otherwise, YouTube will take control of your viewing habits, and they'll tell you what you're gonna watch, and you'll never see another one of my videos again. Anyway, till next time, stay healthy, and if you can, stay single.